Let me turn in my text this morning to Daniel chapter 7. Let me read verse 13, verse 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came the one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that will not be destroyed. There's something about the coming of the Lord and speaking about it. I always wrestle with it because I was raised in these circles like you, many of you were, where that was, Jesus was coming. We all didn't doubt that. And if you were a little older, like my age, you remember that you were told that you didn't want to be caught in a theater if Jesus came, or you wouldn't want to be playing bingo if Jesus came. I don't know how that figured out too much, but those are some of the things. And so there was a kind of a, when Jesus comes, it was kind of a negative thing. But the Lord spoke to me the other night, and I thought, you know, Maranatha, that replaced Shalom. It was the greeting of greeting. I mean, it was the declaration of declaration. Maranatha, this is what they lived for. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So I want to speak on this very same theme. Let me suggest some things. Number one, the coming of the Lord was foretold by the prophets. It was already declared. Jude, for example, verse 14 and verse 15. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with not a few angels, with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness. And I made a little note to myself, the first coming was to bring salvation that we could be saved and forgiven of anything we'd ever done, past, present, or future. The second coming is to bring judgment. The first time he comes as the lamb. The second time he comes as the lion. There are two different things happening. So it was foretold by the prophets. It was foretold by Christ himself telling us about this. Matthew 25, 31 to 32. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. You remember, he had been beaten, left for dead, crucified, wounded, beaten. But when he comes in his glory. There will be a different happening. It's rather exciting. And all the angels with him, not some of them, all of them. How many are there? Well, we know that one-third rebelled. So there are millions and millions of angels. And they're all going to be there. When he appears, they're all going to be there. Then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. All 7 billion of us will be there. John 14 and 3. I love this. This is a very popular funeral verse. John 14 and 3. I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's coming for us. He's coming. I'll come again. If I go away, did he go away? Yes. He said, then be sure of this. I'm coming back for you, that where you are, that where I am, you will be also. What a preciousness. Thirdly, it was foretold by the apostles. Acts chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as you also did, your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of not a few of them, all of them, by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. He thus fulfilled, and therefore, eternal gain, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive, that's why he went away, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. That is a very precious thing, that he was taken away and waited for his hour to come. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14 to 16. To keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing, I like that. I actually like that better than the second coming, the appearing. And free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. Wow, how powerful is that? To him be glory and eternal dominion. Amen. Number four, it was foretold by the angels. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. You know that they were all gathered, and Jesus was leaving and is giving his last words to them. And as he has started going to heaven into the clouds, they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Don't you know that he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven? Why are you looking up?" That's exactly how he's going to come back. In what? He's coming back in the clouds. That's how he left. They said the same way he left is how he's coming again. He will come in the clouds. So what about this when Jesus comes? When Jesus comes. I know we can say some things about it. We can say, number one, that it will be a rewarding day, for the Son of Man is going to come with his holy angels in the glory of his Father. Then he will repay each person according to what he has done. It will be a day of reward. I won't. Somebody said, "Well, it looks like you got your reward." No, I haven't got my reward yet. You haven't got your reward yet. You won't have your reward until Jesus comes. And then he said he will fully repay all that's owed. Any time I gave, any sacrifice I made, the Lord will make that up, and I will be rewarded. What a wonderful, beautiful, comforting thought that is. You don't have to worry. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, they'd say over and over and over again, "When the Lord comes. When the Lord comes. Don't worry. You were ripped off. Don't worry about that. The Lord's coming. He'll look after all that." Don't. You know, I was interning years ago in Regina, and there was a prayer meeting that had implications for years and years. That church still is going strong. It's probably close to 1,000 people in it still. But back then, it was called the Scar Street Mission. And there was a prayer group, as I mentioned, every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, to Friday. And so I say there's implications. Prayers are still being answered. Those people prayed. And but Brother Thunberg was one of the main people that when I was there in those days, lovely, godly man. And it wouldn't matter whether we were talking about starvation in some country or whether there was five people killed in an accident. It mattered not. He answered it the same way. We'd be all kind of disturbed about it. We'd talk, "Isn't it awful? Oh, it's terrible, terrible times. We have terrible injury. Oh, that weather, just so many terrible things." And he would say, "Let's pray for the coming of the Lord." No, nobody in that group wondered. He said, "Of course. Oh, how silly of us." They would pray. He said, "Lord, in the light of this tragedy, in the light of that event over there, this thing happened over there, and that happened over there, Lord, we can hardly wait for you to come. We pray for the coming of the Lord." Well, I'm telling you, you would go long and far to find a prayer meeting where somebody prays for the coming of the Lord. You'd be hard-pressed. We're called to pray for the coming of the Lord. There's a hastening. There is something about that. Hebrews chapter 10. You yourselves have a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, the writer says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward to those who love his appearing. There's a reward. There's a reward for it. He said, don't lose your confidence. The Lord is coming, and you will be rewarded, a great reward. And if you turn aside, you will not have that great reward that God wants to give you. So it's an unexpected day as well. Some things are, you know, we don't expect things to happen. Things in the course of a day, it happens. Well, I wasn't expecting that. Well, this is one thing you won't be expecting, I can guarantee you. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Let me just pause. There are people that say that they know when the coming of the Lord is. And they've got dates. And they've got calendars. And they've got all kinds of crazy promises. And I think way back to the beginning of the Jehovah's Witnesses, we were predicting dates all the time. Just they're always predicting one other date when Jesus was coming. Well, to all of that, I say this, taking this from Scripture, is that, let me read it again. That day, that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. How do you know? How could you possibly know when the angels don't know? How could they come up with some date when the angel, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, S-O-N, nor the Son, but only the Father. The angels don't know. The Son himself, Jesus, does not know when he's coming. The Father will whisper it to him. He'll speak it to him. Oh, boy, that's exciting. But only the Father. The Father knows. And he's going to speak to the Son. And so Jesus said, so be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. Even if you think you know. I thought, you know, there's a passage in there in Revelation that says there was in heaven the silence for 30 minutes in heaven. You've read that. I've often wondered why that is. Why do we have to be silent in heaven for 30 minutes? And then I realized what it is. It gives us a chance to erase our prophecy charts. You know, I guess that wasn't right. I guess he's not coming back just yet. And so you have to keep erasing. Just a thought. I leave that with you. Be on guard and keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work. And he commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. For you do not know, he says, when the master of the house will come. That's why the call to diligence. In the evening? Maybe. Or at midnight? Or when the rooster crows? Or in the morning? Lest he come suddenly and finds you asleep. And what shall I say to you? In Jesus speaking, in the light of that. In the light that it could be the evening, it could be midnight, it could be when the rooster crows, it could be in the morning. One thing we know, he said, it's going to come suddenly, and you don't want to be found asleep. What shall I say to you? Stay awake. That's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to say, stay awake. Why? Because it's so easy to get sleepy on these things. Or pretty soon that's just some kind of a doctrine or something somewhere, but it's not a reality burning in your heart saying, Jesus is coming, he might even come today. Oh, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. I can hardly wait for you to come. So do I want you to come. So I say to all, stay awake. What a word. Right? It's so powerful. 2 Peter chapter 3, there's a correction there. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. I guess, like that thief on the that stole the van. the bus. He came when no one expected and robbed them. Be like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will all be exposed. It talks to our heart. I don't want to be sleeping. I think the church generally, North America, is sleeping. I include that with us. And the Lord is speaking to us that we would be alert and watching and ready and doing and anticipating and expecting. Say, what if he doesn't come? How do we lose? How do we lose if he doesn't come in the time that I'm thinking? What do I lose? I don't lose anything. I was doing exactly what he said. He said, stay awake and be watching. Stay awake and be watching. Don't fall asleep. It will be a resurrection day. These are things that we know about this coming of the Lord. It will be a resurrection day. Let me read it from Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. I wonder, what will it be? What will that cry of command be? Will it be a whoop? Will it be a shout? I think it's going to be some type of heavenly shout. And I imagine you will not mistake it for anything else that ever happens in your life. I am sure that when I hear the shout of the archangel and the blast of the trumpet, the voice of an archangel, the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, not talking about you this morning, you just didn't get enough sleep. And the dead in Christ will rise first. When I was a Bible school student, one of the students had gone away for the weekend or something, and so he missed the events. And what they did, the rest of the student body, 150 or 180 of them, all disappeared and went to the River Hills. So they were all, 20 miles from where the Bible school was. Everybody went. All the students went, all the teachers went, everybody. It was always a good time. So he comes, there's nobody home. Hello? 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 He said, we teased him for the longest time about that because he didn't know where we were. We weren't around the building. We weren't in some classroom or anything. We were really out of sight. And I thought, you would have given him cardiac arrest if you would have blew a trumpet. Sometimes we miss the best part of the moment. So we'll get someone to blow the trumpet here. The sound of the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ, everyone who died as a believer. That's who we're talking about here. They're raised first. Somebody said, well, those people were in a fire. There's nothing left. Do you think God, he just needs a fragment of it. He doesn't, when you plant potatoes, you don't need the whole potato. And it doesn't matter to the Lord. He can resurrect that. Those bodies will be resurrected. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Isn't it good that those that, who think of all the people we know who've passed away in Christ, and they're going to be raised first. Then those who are alive, who are left, which I presume will be us, will be caught up together with them. Somehow it was important to the Lord to link the two together, to link those who died in faith and those that are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's where we're going to meet him, in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord as he comes for us. And therefore, this is his word to us, encourage one another with these words. Maranatha. The Lord comes. It's a longing day. That's really what it is. It's a longing day. It's a day where you long for this to happen. And I suppose the other is equally true. If I don't anticipate it and it's not any special day to me, it's just something I heard somebody preach on, then it speaks to our condition and how I said, Lord, I want to be watching, waiting, doing. I want to be about the Father's work. I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm just talking about as an individual to be caught up in the things of the Lord so that when the Lord comes, I'm not surprised because I was waiting for him. And so each day, I say, Lord, if you come today, may we be found watching, waiting, and doing. If you don't come, we still want to be watching, waiting, and doing. We have no worry about that. 1 Corinthians 16, if you'll just turn to that wonderful passage. And I think, yes, here we are. Verse 21, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Verse 22, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong. Anathema. Because he doesn't love Christ. Now, remember what Paul wrote in the Galatians. He said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than what I preach to you, he said, let him be accursed. It's not the verse, you know, you put on your brochure, but it's there. And see, I think what he's looking for is an intense love. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The one we love with all of our hearts. The one that we want to do his will. We want to live for him. We want to work for him. Our Lord, come. Now, with that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 22, keep that in mind. Put your finger in that verse and turn over to the last book of the Bible. It starts with what the Lord created, ends with wonderful admonitions here. I'll go back a little bit further. Chapter 22, verse 7, and behold, this is the words of Jesus, behold, I'm coming soon. That's why it's got to be more than just in my heart. I said, Lord, I must make it more. I am coming soon. Okay. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, I find verse 17 helpful. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires take the water of life without price. Now drop down. Verse 20. He who testifies. Now this is the last part of this whole Bible. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. It became the cry of the church. Maranatha. They would greet each other and say, Maranatha, Maranatha. To what? To remind that nobody gets sleepy. That nobody gets, you know, they're drowsy. They're fast asleep. They're completely out of it. That's not how you want to be found. You want to be able to say, you know, we prayed for the coming of the Lord as part of our church. We were so convinced. Now, we're not going to all go off to Creston and find a cave and some goats. And you know, there's no plans like that. We're not. There's no fanaticism in this. It's just the exact response to Scripture. That's important. And every believer down through the centuries felt and understood this. To pray for the coming of the Lord. Pray for the coming of the Lord. He is coming. He said he's coming. It was foretold by angels, foretold by prophets, foretold by apostles. It could not be more foretold. And that was just verses I just gleaned. There I probably could have had 50 more or 100 verses more. The Bible has got all this coming back, coming soon. And to those who love his appearing. The world isn't waiting for him. Isn't that interesting? The world's not waiting for him. They could care less. They could care less about his coming. I used to work in a garage. Actually, you know, I actually worked at one time of my life. I was just reading, saying it ahead of time, so in case you say it. Did you ever work on? No, I was a pastor. I worked in a garage. It wasn't my calling. After a while, that was determined. But I worked with a guy that was pretty rough and kind of crude. I can't tell most of what he said. But he would say this. He called me Scotty. And he'd say, "Come on, Scotty, come on, you're slower than the second coming of Christ." Often. I mean, I'd hear that 5 times a month. "Come on, Scotty, let's go. Slower than the coming of Christ." That wasn't said in reverence. That was said in mockery. But isn't it interesting that he said it? Those words will be held against him. And that's why Paul writes that anyone who does not love our Lord Jesus, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Our job is to love him. We wait for him. Right now, I just finished. Our neighbors went away to Mexico, and they left us in charge of their cats. Two orange cats. They're really beautiful cats. They're orange with no white, just all orange. Like a couple of pumpkins. We already have the other neighbor's cat in the house anyway, so now it's like. It was my job to look over about a couple times a day just to go over and check on the cats, the neighbor's cats. And so it's kind of interesting. Those cats were waiting, not for me. I tried. I did everything I could. I did except handstands on a pop bottle to get their interest. But when I would come to that door and open the door, click, those two cats running together would run and look so disappointed when it was me. They were waiting for their owner. Every day they would run to that door and I'd have to scoot them and say, "Oh, we'll play with it." And they were waiting, everything. This happens, this family, a lovely family, they have two twins were just born a few months ago. So there's two girl twins and two cats and mom and dad, everything's in twos. But they came home the other night, and I went over this to see if give the return their key back to them, and those cats were so happy that one slept on the pillow with them. He just couldn't get closer to the people. "You left us. You left us. We were waiting for your second coming. If you didn't come, you were stuck with that Yahoo that they didn't. He was trying to. We couldn't stand it. We made us play that game one more time." You know, it was a funny little illustration. But I said, "You're not waiting for me. You're waiting for your owners who love you." Now I'll put it on a spiritual level. Nothing else does it. Nothing else does it. The only thing that does it for us is when he appears. We can ask the Lord to, and he lives within us. It is not the same as the manifold presence of the Lord. He comforts us. We encourage one another. Nothing will satisfy your soul until you see your Savior. Oh, your joy will be unbelievable. My joy will be unbelievable. "Oh, I thought you were like, I didn't." Boom. "I behold, I come." What do you want to be? We used to, when I was younger, as a teenager, when I became a Christian, there were things like, as I mentioned, about you'd only be playing bingo or square dancing. I never got that. I just was a little slow in making connections. It seemed kind of, we were emphasizing the wrong thing. We have a Savior coming for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us so that we will be with him. That's why he's gone. He's preparing this place for you. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for Israel, of course. He's coming back for the church, but he's coming back for you. It matters how we live. How shall we then live? In the light of a Savior that we're waiting. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? We don't know, but we know it will be. It will be. It's imminent. It's coming. And we want to be doing this morning here, lift your own heart. Say, oh, heart, may you pound for the Savior. May you long for the Savior. Those who love his appearing. There is a reward of rewards. As you faithfully stood by the stuff, encouraging people, praying for people, sharing Christ with people, laying hands on people, delivering people, doing all we can do. We know that clock is ticking, and if it doesn't come today, he may come tomorrow. There's work to be done. We can't sit around and say, well, when he comes, he'll come. No, there needs to be a very strong aggressiveness about it. Say, we know he's coming. Lord, we know, and we hasten the day. I've often wondered, there's a verse in, I think it's Isaiah 69, but I just can't remember it. But anyway, it said, oh, that he would rend the heavens and come down. To come down. Rend the, bear your holy arm, the verse says. Bear your holy arm, God, and come down. Make the mountains smoke like you did before. Oh, the mountains are going to smoke when he comes down. But I wonder if we don't even hasten the day by praying that. Say, come down, Lord. Where are you? He's in heaven. He's waiting for the times of refreshing. He's waiting for the restoration of all things. Nothing. He's not late. He's not behind schedule. It's right on. Everything is right on. Key. That will be announced. The Father will announce to the Son now. And he will come. You want to be on the right side of this, folks. Don't get this wrong. We want to be on the side that says, Lord, I was waiting for you. I love you. I'm so glad to see you. That trumpet's not scaring me. I'm glad for the trumpet. I'm glad for the shout, that glad shout from heaven. Oh, boy. You know, we don't know what loud noises are. You know, people complain about how loud the service is sometimes. They're not going to like this. No, it's going to be amazing. It's an anointed thing. That's what these are the things. Then you know he's coming because there's the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. And so here we are together. Stand. Let's. How is it? See, that there's the question. We're not trying to guilt you or discourage you or anything. How's your life been? Just are you in right relationship with God through Jesus? You need to be right with him. You cannot. Val told me the other day that I said something. She said, you remember you quoted this? I said, did I say that? I should have, that was very good. When did I say that? And apparently what I said, this brilliant statement, they're far and few between, you see, you got to get them when you come. And she said, you said you can't build a house in a hurricane. I said, well, that's good. I said that. It's very good. You can't, but it's true. I don't know when I said that, but it's true. You know, people say, I better build a house. I better get some shelter here. And so they start building. You can't build in a hurricane. You guys know. You can't build in a hurricane. You have to build it when it's calm, when everything is right. And many people, you say, well, when the Lord comes, I'll get my house together. No. You have to get it now. You have to be ready. Stay awake, watching. That's what he said. And these are the words of our Lord. And so we say yes to you, Lord. And so if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, it'd be our sheer pleasure to lead you in that. It's a free gift of salvation made available. You can get on the right side right now. So that this doesn't frighten you whatsoever. You say, oh, are you kidding me? I long for his coming. I wait for his coming. So that's the other area is our own busyness. We take time in your spiritual life. I don't want to be cold where I'm kind of a bit shy about him because I haven't been praying, I haven't been reading, I haven't been sharing Christ. And we're not talking about eternal salvation in this case. Just it's funny how the world can suck you into itself. That you just say, whew. And I know it's a constant struggle for me to stay in the presence of the Lord. because there's so many voices that call. So maybe you're here today and you just need to say, Lord, I renew my heart to you. I'm more caught up in the world than I am in the things of God. But I want to be the things of God to be important to me. I want that to be the most important thing, and then other things are secondary, and you know, there's lots of things we do. There's nothing wrong with the Super Bowl, by the way. Amen. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Yeah, that's right. He said amen. Right. But because it's peripheral, it's not the most important thing. It's just something like we do. It's like going for pizza, right? You just do it. It's nothing to do with your body. But when your life, you say, what are we made of? What's the essence of us? It's that we would win as many people to the Lord as we could. Amen. That they would enter the ark. And let the Lord shut the door and shut us in. It's beautiful. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. But if you're here, you say, I don't think I'm right with God, and I'm not doing the things that would wait. I don't want the Lord to catch me doing some things. Well, we don't have to make up a list. We all know. We all know whether it's right or wrong. And in the light of the coming of Christ, measure it by that. Is this right or wrong? Let's pray. Lord, the fact that you're coming back for us is the best part of this. And all those that love you. Around the world, the millions and millions and millions of people that love you. Lord, we want to be part of that. If anybody is here that has never opened their heart to you, I pray they would just invite you in, even this morning, and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take away all my sin. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for my rebellion. I turn my life over to you. I surrender my all to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. Thank you for making me your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As we go, go with a consciousness that wouldn't it be something if next week we have to make a few changes here because Christ came back. Live in the light of it. Watch the blessing of God come upon your heart and your life. There's something special for those that wait on him. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. Amen.